It's 11 o'clock at KOIN, Portland.
CBS News. President Ford travels to North Carolina to campaign for that state's presidential primary on Tuesday. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president plans to spend Saturday in the Charlotte and Asheville areas, then return to Washington in the evening. Mr. Ford said another victory would be helpful to his effort. His former campaign manager, Howard Calloway, said in an interview Friday it is unlikely he will return to his job. Calloway stepped aside following disclosure that the Justice Department is investigating to determine if he tried to pressure the Agriculture Department to let him use federal land for his Colorado ski resort. White House political advisor Rogers Morton says the president should carefully examine his options before deciding whether to keep Calloway, but Morton added this.
I do not want the press to interpret it. I do not want the public to interpret it. I do not want the Republican Party to interpret it. I'm shouldering out Bo Calloway, one of my dearest and oldest friends, whom I have the highest respect for.
Some White House sources have been predicting that Morton will take over the Ford campaign. More news in a moment.
Give your hand to a friend. To contact.
The most successful selling cold medicine in the world is a little capsule. Contact. It gives you something you can't get from any tablet, any liquid. Continuous relief from sneezing, drips, congestion. Relief working in your system all day, all night, nonstop, clear to the end of your cold. The tiny time pills do it, up to 12 hours per capsule. Contact doesn't contain the analgesics and cough suppressant found in tablets and liquids. Remember, Contact is the only leading cold medicine that works in your system all day, all night, clear to the end of your cold. Use only as directed.
Give your cold to Contact.
Contact, number one in the whole world.
Israel has agreed to take part in debate Monday at the UN Security Council on unrest in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Islamic members of the council requested the session to defuse what they called an explosive situation. This is the first time Israel has agreed to take part in the Security Council session with the Palestine Liberation Organization present. President Ford has expressed pleasure at Egypt's break with the Soviet Union and pledged that the United States will respond with economic and other aid for the Cairo government. The president said the development is a victory for U.S. foreign policy. There was some trouble at a newspaper plant in Philadelphia Friday night. A report from Tia O'Brien of station WCAU in Philadelphia.
About 200 union picketers have left the Philadelphia Inquirer building after they were served with a restraining order by U.S. Marshals. The picketers said they were protesting what they described as biased reporting of union conflicts in the Philadelphia area. Two newspaper employees were assaulted as they tried to cross picket lines, and a newswoman was harassed by union members. The union succeeded in stopping the paper from publishing its early editions. The union protest comes after Mayor Frank Rizzo filed a $6 million libel suit against the Inquirer, objecting to a satirical article recently printed about him. The union official on the scene, Tom McGran, said there was no connection between the picketers and the mayor's suit. McGran is known to be a close friend of Mayor Rizzo, a former Philadelphia police commissioner. Newspaper officials claim police made no attempt to stop the picketers from harassing employees and to help the paper distribute its early editions. This is T. O'Brien for CBS News in Philadelphia.
Britain's Lord Snowden says he is desperately sad about the separation from his wife, Princess Margaret. In Sydney, Australia, Snowden says he wishes her every happiness. He did not answer a reporter's question whether there is any chance for a reconciliation. Deliberations on a verdict began Friday in San Francisco in the bank robbery trial of Patricia Hearst. The jurors discussed the case a little over 5 hours before quitting for the night. Their deliberations will resume on Saturday. In Detroit, the United Auto Workers Union says it will push for a provision that would prevent the auto industry from scheduling overtime for workers in plants where fellow employees are still laid off. That's one of the union demands in contract talks with the automakers, which will be coming up this summer. Now this.
Dear undetectable toupee, ever since I purchased your toupee, everybody's been saying it's the most beautiful toupee they've seen. So, undetectable toupee, send me my money back!
Sir, you sold me this book called Speaking Up. It didn't work. Can I have my money back, please?
Wouldn't it be nice if people could get some money back and a product they're satisfied with, too?
Well, to introduce Jackie brand quality underwear to new customers, and as a present to our present customers, there's the Jackie $3 savings plan. From now to March 27th, buy any combination of six of our famous white underwear styles, athletic shirts, t-shirts, v-necks, briefs, midways, or tapered boxers. Send Jockey the wrappers and sales slip, and we'll send you a check for $3.
Dear Jockey, my husband is very happy with the six white classic briefs I bought him, so I feel a little funny saying this, but I want some of my money back.
The head of the National Cancer Institute says 60% of all cancer cases could be prevented if Americans would stop smoking, improve their diets, and take already known measures. Frank Rossner also said that 40% of all cancers are caused by smoking or by a combination of smoking and drinking alcoholic beverages. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 news, a 27-year-old Warm Springs man has received a total of 80 years in prison on robbery, escape, and federal firearms charges. Byron Kalama escaped from a prison van outside the Multnomah County Courthouse on the 15th of December, 1975. He was captured the day after his escape. A circuit court judge sentenced him to 20-year terms for two first-degree robbery charges and 10 years for first-degree escape, all to be served consecutively. The U.S. District Judge sentenced him to 30 years in prison for six federal firearms violations. U.S. District Court Judge Morrill Sharp says he will decide next week whether two killer whales captured by SeaWorld of San Diego will be set free. Sharp continued his temporary restraining order prohibiting removal of the whales from Puget Sound. The judge says he also may decide whether SeaWorld's federal permit to capture up to four of the mammals should be revoked pending a trial to determine if the permit was legally issued and exercised. A 17-year-old Astoria youth is being detained for further juvenile court proceedings in the fatal shooting of the operator of Pearl's Beauty Salon. The Clatsop County District Attorney's Office says it is considering whether to request the youth be remanded to adult court to face charges of first-degree manslaughter. A three-member trial board of the Oregon State Bar has recommended that the state Supreme Court issue a public reprimand to Polk County District Attorney John Snyder. It is not a binding recommendation, and the high court can act as it sees fit, ranging from dismissal of the complaint to disbarment. Oregon Republicans wrestling with the presidential primary winner-take-all concept. They've got a national convention and a meeting coming up this weekend. Chairman L.B. Day of the Oregon Land Conservation and Development Commission said today that it would not take much to get him to resign. Shortly after this report, the commission voted 5-1 to delay the adoption of its recommendation for coastal goals and guidelines. Canadian authorities saying a Taiwan-registered fishing boat escorted into the harbor of Victoria, British Columbia. It was located in Canadian waters. Weather forecast: partly cloudy with some showers tonight and increasing clouds and rain tomorrow. Low 35, high 50 to 55. I'm Tom Morgan. Stay in touch with 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The story to follow concerns a celebrity. A celebrity is a person who is famous in any way at all, though usually favorably. A person who is renowned, or sometimes only notorious. What happens when a famed, noted individual meets another one who is obscure and unknown? That is the subject of our drama. A matter of love and death.
Everybody knows you, Jim. Absolutely everybody.
Well, it goes with the job, Helen.
Everybody in the whole world, probably.
I guess.
Nobody knows me.
I do, Helen.
Yes.
And as long as I know you, what do you care if nobody else does?
I guess I don't care.
All those people that know me, I don't know them. I mean, that's how it is when you're a celebrity.
Mystery drama, A Matter of Love and Death, written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric, and stars Lois Nettleton. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You know, I just thought of something.
Yeah? What's that?
Well, over 250,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks.
Yeah?
That's a lot of people.
Yeah?
Well, if you got all those people together, they'd probably disagree on nearly everything. Religion, politics, sports. I mean, people disagree on all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet all those people, over 250,000 of them, agree on Buicks. I think that's really socially significant, don't you?
No.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Some days I like to just stay home and read a good book, but one that I can really lose myself in. Well, The Physicians was that kind of book. It was about a young doctor who was almost ruined by a rich man's malpractice suit, and how he and his lawyer, a woman, untangle a web of legal and medical lies to prove his innocence. The ending was absolutely terrific. The Physicians was absolutely terrific. The Physicians is my kind of book.
The Physicians, your kind of book. Now from Pocket Books. Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is he whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
I can remember a day, perhaps some of you can too, when a man became a celebrity for a short while by sitting on a flagpole. Then there was a fetching celebrity named Willie Sutton, who robbed banks because, as he said, that's where the money is. Most people felt rather badly when, after a long career, Willie was shot down near a police station. A tennis player named Gussie Moran became a celebrity because, though she played an excellent game, she caught public fancy by wearing ruffled panties underneath her tennis dress. Your guess is as good as mine as to what makes a celebrity.
Well, I'm checking out, Sarge.
See you tomorrow.
Oh, could I see somebody, please?
Like who, miss?
I don't know. Anybody.
Well, try speaking to the sergeant. He'll help you.
The sergeant?
Sergeant Callahan at the desk over there.
Oh.
You want to see me, miss?
I've got to talk to somebody.
Come right over here.
Good night, Callahan.
Night. Now, what can I do for you, little lady?
You don't remember me. Helen Collins?
I don't think I do.
I'm Mrs. James Collins. Jim Collins' wife?
Oh, Mrs. Collins. Well, of course I remember you. You were here for questioning when your husband was... I apologize, Mrs. Collins. You see, Detective Guthrie handled that whole unfortunate affair, and I... Well, what can I do for you, Mrs. Collins?
I have to talk to somebody. I'm going crazy.
Well, naturally, after what you've been through...
Oh, you don't know...
And your husband, a wonderful man.
It's worse than that.
Don't you have somebody at home you can talk to? Your mother.
She's up in North Pines. That's in New Hampshire. Anyway, I can't talk to her about this.
Some friend, maybe? A girlfriend?
I don't have any.
Well, Mrs. Collins, why don't I take you into one of the back rooms here and give you some coffee? How would you like that?
Yes, I'd like that.
Well, you just come along with me. Saints alive, you're shaking. Are you cold?
I guess.
Kind of shook up. Is that it? Right in here. Sit down, Mrs. Collins, and I'll fetch you some coffee. How do you take it?
It doesn't matter.
Well, I'll put some milk in it and a little sugar. Give you some energy. You look like you could use it. Am I right?
I have to tell you something.
And I'm going to listen. Now just sit back and relax and drink this coffee, and you tell me what's on your mind. Now take your time. I'm listening. How's the coffee?
Sergeant, I forget what you said your last name is.
Callahan. Is the coffee sweet enough?
Sergeant Callahan, I should have told somebody before.
A coffee too hot.
I killed my husband.
How's that again, Mrs. Collins?
I killed my husband.
Oh, well, now, and how did you do that, Mrs. Collins, if you care to tell me?
Oh, I do. That's why I'm here.
Well, drink some coffee. It'll settle your nerves.
I shot him.
Oh, that's a pretty serious thing you're telling me.
Oh, I know that. And I know I should have told you before, but I've been so upset. I've been upset for a long time, ever since... it goes a long way back.
Well, you just tell me all about it. Start way back if you want to, or wherever you're mind to. Okay?
Yes, I'd like that. You're being very kind to me.
That's what we're here for, Mrs. Collins.
Well, you see, Jim and I grew up in the same town, North Pines, New Hampshire. I don't suppose you've ever heard of it.
Well, I knew he came from New Hampshire, some town.
Oh, a very small town. And we didn't exactly grow up together. I mean, I didn't really know him. He was older than me.
Uh-huh.
In North Pines High School, he was a senior when I was a freshman. Of course, everybody knew him because he was such a great football player. Everybody just idolized him. He was the star. I used to go to all the games. Well, everybody did. And we'd cheer like crazy, and I'd cheer along with everybody else, even though I didn't have the faintest notion what was going on down there in the field. But I'd scream and wave my pennant. I was really cheering for him, you know?
Sure, I know.
And sometimes after the big games, there'd be parties, dances. And he'd be there, and everybody crowding around him. He hardly got a minute to himself. And that's how I happened to meet him.
Hey there.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Come here.
You want to dance with me?
I want to get out of this cruddy crowd. Come on.
Where to?
Well, any place. Outside. Come on. Everybody will think I'm making out, but you don't care, do you?
No. No, I don't care. Whatever you say. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I just knew that for some crazy reason, he had picked me. Me, of all people, to talk to. Well, we went outside and we talked. Anyway, he talked.
I expect I'll go to Ohio State, maybe Stanford. I've got all kinds of offers. I get a new one every day, practically.
Oh, I just bet you do.
You know, the scouts come around to all the colleges. Senior year, they do.
Scouts?
Yeah, for the big teams. I expect I'll be drafted if we can come to terms.
Drafted? I didn't know what he was talking about, but I didn't care. He was talking to me. Just as though I was somebody that mattered. Somebody worth talking to. Not many people had ever talked to me that way. And the last person in the world I expected to was Jim Collins. You can imagine.
Oh, sure I can.
I never saw him again. Not to talk to. He went away to college, and the scouts did come after him, and they made him fantastic offers, and he was drafted. And after that, he belonged to them. And he started playing professional football, and he... Well, I guess you know all about that. Everybody does. He was just wonderful.
Greatest running back ever lived.
Of course, I read all about him in the papers. Every word. I was teaching kindergarten by then in North Pines. I don't know if I was in love with him. I didn't think of myself that way. Or of him. But I would think of that evening with the orchestra playing I Don't Know How to Love Him. You remember that song?
Oh, sure.
Well, that's kind of how it was. I couldn't think of myself as actually being in love. That was, well, it was beyond my wildest dreams. I just felt that for that one evening,
somebody famous and great and exceptional had talked to me, told me about his plans, told them to me, of all people, me, you know?
Sure. Do you want some more coffee?
And then this absolutely amazing thing happened. He came back to North Pines. The North Pines, that dinky little place. I mean, we didn't even have a library. That's how small North Pines is. Of course, he came back to see his parents, not to see me, naturally. And the whole town turned out. I mean, they put up banners, and they had a parade and music, and the mayor made a speech. Oh, the town really turned itself inside out and upside down. I hung around after everybody else went home. Jim stayed and talked to the mayor for a few minutes. And then they shook hands, and the mayor went one way, and Jim went another way. And there I was. He almost bumped into me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hurt you?
Oh, no. You didn't hurt me. I didn't hurt you, did I?
You're too little.
Well, that was a silly thing to say.
Hey, I know you, don't I?
Not really.
From somewhere. I know you from somewhere.
High school?
High school. Way back then?
The big dance?
Which big dance?
Just before you went away to college?
I took you to the big dance? I mean, you were my date?
Oh, no. No, it was nothing like that. We just talked for a little while. We went outside and talked.
Oh.
Oh, you don't remember. No, there's no reason why you should remember. You just wanted to get away from the crowd, and I went with you.
Well, I'd like to do that now. Hey, look. Have dinner with me, huh?
Dinner?
Yeah, dinner with me. How about it? You want to?
Well, yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I'd love to. Jim was in town for just a few days. I had dinner at his family's house. I hardly remember that because, of course, his parents just hung on every word he said, and so did I. And when he came to my house, it was the same thing. He told the same stories he told at his family's house, and my parents loved them, and I loved hearing them again. I felt like I was becoming a part of his life, hearing all those stories and all the famous names and everything, all so different from anything I'd ever known, just like another world. Oh, you're sure you want to hear all this?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're not going to believe this part.
Well, try me.
He fell in love with me. Yes, Jim Collins fell in love with me.
Now, why wouldn't I believe that?
Well, because you can see the kind of girl I am, and you know what he was. But he did. He fell in love with me, and he asked me to marry him. Actually asked me to marry him.
Well, you want some more milk in that? More sugar?
No, this is fine. Well, he asked me to marry him, and what could I say? I said yes. What else was there to say?
What about no?
To Jim Collins? Say no to Jim Collins when he asks you to marry him?
You loved him.
Oh, of course I did. I mean, here I was, a kindergarten teacher in North Pines. Not very pretty, not unusual in any way. I thought I'd live my whole life in North Pines. Maybe be an old maid. Maybe die there. And then Jim Collins asked me to marry him. The great Jim Collins, the great football player.
Greatest running back ever lived.
Of course I said yes. And we got married right there in my parents' house. Because Jim had to leave the very next day.
Training starts day after tomorrow, Helen.
It does?
Yeah, for a month.
Where do you go for the training?
Westport, Connecticut.
Well, we live in a house or an apartment?
Oh, baby, it's only for a month.
A hotel.
Well, I thought you might want to stay on here with your folks.
What for? I want to be with you.
Kid, I'll be living in a dormitory.
A dormitory?
Yeah, with all the other jocks.
You mean we can't live together?
Not during training.
Why not? We're married.
Helen, those coaches are strict. They own us. They watch us like hawks. Now, you wouldn't like it, and even if they'd let you in, and they sure wouldn't let you in, not during training.
Well, when do I get to see you?
Well, after training, then for 2 months, there's exhibition games. Miami, Buffalo, all over.
And I can go with you to those places?
Well, you can meet me there, you know. You see, the players all go on chartered flights, and wives and sweethearts aren't allowed. But you can meet me. Chicago, St. Louis, Kansas City, all over. 2 months of that. Don't worry, honey. We'll get together. Now and then.
It wasn't easy, Sergeant Callahan.
I don't suppose it was.
I'd never heard of a life like that. The training, the practice games, the exhibition games. And then I think that was the worst of all. The banquet circuit. See, Jim made speeches at colleges. All over. Sometimes 6 speeches in 1 week. The last speech he made was right here in this town. At your college here. It was a little while after that speech that I killed him.
Do you dream of becoming a celebrity yourself? Very well. If you have the talent and the perseverance and the audacity to launch yourself on this perilous path, good luck to you. If, on the other hand, you think such an undertaking requires too much of you, and your main assets are your beauty, your charm, your femininity, then perhaps you think of marrying a celebrity. If this tale has any moral at all, any purpose, it is only the whispered warning, think again. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
You don't have to be a home all year round.
You can do it economically.
No matter what the weather's like outside, you can change it so easily. So make summer a cool and sane. Turn winter into spring. It's the right time for carriers. Carriers right for the times.
To be right for the times, the air conditioning you choose for your home has got to run efficiently. And that's the beauty of Carrier's Round One. Compared to most other central units, the Round One is a good deal quieter and a lot more economical to operate. Your local Carrier dealer has a special preseason offer on the Round One. Call him on it.
So make summer a cooling thing. Turn winter into spring. It's the right time for Carrier.
Hello, I'm Dolly Parton. Have you ever watched a weaver at his trade? Shuttles weaving faster and faster on the loom, creating a design where none has been before. And come to think of it, life's pattern is woven in just the same way, born of many different threads, meeting, merging, spinning out the small fabric of our existence. The March of Dimes is trying to create a better fabric of life, free from the tragedy of birth defects. A life which ensures every newborn the right to the most precious heritage of all, good health at birth. Medical service programs, scientific research, public education, all are part of the March of Dimes fight against this number one health problem for our nation's children. But a weaver, any weaver, needs help along the way. And birth defects are forever unless you help. Help weave a tomorrow full of bright promise for our next generation. Please. Give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
Jim Collins was a football hero at North Pines High School. He was a football star at college. He was drafted into the majors after graduation and became a football celebrity. On a visit to his hometown in New Hampshire, he encountered a girl he had talked to for 10 minutes many years before at a high school dance. And for this reason or that, he married her. When our first act ended, she was in a police station telling the sergeant that she had killed her famous husband.
I didn't mean to kill him. I loved him. I hardly ever saw him, but I loved him. I never meant to do such a terrible thing, but I just got where I couldn't stand it anymore.
Try and calm down and tell me what led up to everything. Well, you're a very nice girl. Anybody can see that. So tell me, what did he do to make you... Well, you know. Well, there must have been a reason.
No, not really. He was always good to me. He was a good man. But I...
Will you want some more coffee?
No, not really.
Well, how about an aspirin?
Oh, that would be nice.
I've got some right here. Always carry some on me. Well, here you are. Yeah, take two. Hey, you want some water?
No, the coffee's all right. Thank you.
Now, let's both you and me relax, and you tell me the rest of it.
Isn't somebody supposed to take down my confession? I thought you always did that.
Well, there's always time for that later. You just tell me about Jim Collins and everything that happened.
Well, I could have put up with everything, I think, if it hadn't been for the fans.
The fans?
I've read about fans that follow movie stars around and rock singers and those people. And, of course, I know senators and presidents have people like that, but that's mostly election years. But I never knew fans followed football players around. It came as quite a shock.
I can imagine.
There was one time, we were in New York. I'd never been to New York before, and Jim and I went into a big department store. I wanted to buy a purse, one of those over-the-shoulder things, you know. And we got up to the counter, and the sales girl took one look at him, and I thought she was going to faint.
Aren't you? You are. You're him. Aren't you him? Oh, it's him. It's him. It's Mr. Collins.
Let's get out of here.
Oh, it's just fans, honey.
But they're crazy.
No, it happens all the time.
They're coming this way.
Well, they want to touch me.
I can't stand it.
Hey, come on.
I can't stand it.
Helen, wait a minute.
It got where I was scared to go out with him. I mean, you don't know Sergeant Callahan. People would see him on the street or in a restaurant or a movie, and, well, they just went crazy, Mr. Callahan. And nobody can tell me they loved him. I mean, love should be gentle and kind and considerate. Don't you think so?
I believe I do.
Well, these people, they treated him like he was some kind of a thing, like they bought and paid for him, and they could do whatever they wanted to with him, like he belonged to them. I got so I wouldn't go out on the street with him. I'd meet him at this bar, which was his favorite place to go, and I'd sit there with him, and Bruiser would usually sit with us.
Bruiser? Who's that?
Oh, you don't know about Bruiser? Jim's bodyguard?
Oh, yeah, I know him. Only I didn't know that was what they called him.
Well, it was what Jim called him. Bruiser was in college with him. He played football, too. Of course, he wasn't as good as Jim.
Oh, no, not many were.
And he wasn't what you'd call a student. And when he got out of school, he went into the Marines for a couple of years, and then he was in he was a security guard for a while. And then he met Jim, and, well, from then on, he was with him all the time. He was really very nice. And, of course, he was crazy about Jim, like everybody.
Hey, look at this, Helen.
What is it? Oh, cigarette case, isn't it?
A lighter. Both solid gold.
Whoa.
Yeah, Jim gave them to me.
Oh, that was nice.
Oh, he didn't pay for them. I mean, somebody gave them to him, and he passed them on to me.
Jim doesn't smoke.
They were presents. From a lady.
Really?
Oh, no, don't get jealous.
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah, they were from a fan. His number one lady fan.
She gives him presents? Expensive presents like that?
Don't worry. He just passes them on to me. You see these cufflinks? They're from Gwen. To Jim. To me.
Is that her name? Gwen?
Yeah, Gwen sent her out. She got it bad for old Jim. Oh, here's a gold pencil she gave him. And there are other things.
Why doesn't he give them back?
He tried once, but she carried on like it busted her heart. And really cried and made a scene. So he stopped trying. He just gives his stuff to me.
It doesn't seem right.
All part of the game, Helen. All part of being a celebrity. You'll get used to it.
I never got used to it. Never.
Bruiser and Jim had sit and laugh about it, but I never could. They talk about this Gwen person. They weren't even sure what she looked like because there were always so many fans crowding around Jim wherever he went. But he used to get a letter from her every single day. And finally, she sent him a picture of herself.
What did she look like?
Well, she was pretty. I was jealous, I have to admit that, Mr. Callahan. Should I call you Sergeant Callahan?
Well, you just call me whatever you want to. This is a very informal talk we're having.
Well, she had lots of blonde hair. The thick, heavy kind, you know, down to her shoulders. And a beautiful smile, and very big eyes. And I guess what you'd call a sexy mouth. She was... I guess you'd say she was beautiful. You'd think she'd get a man of her own instead of...
Well, the picture upset you. Is that it?
Well, I was already upset. Not just by her, by all of them. All the fans. They were just so wild, so uncontrolled, so kind of crazy.
But your husband didn't mind.
I think he liked it. Anyway, Bruiser had a gun.
Oh, did he?
And just in case things got rough, he said. Because things did get rough sometimes. People fought to get near Jim. And fights started, and if Jim didn't do what they wanted him to, you know, spend enough time with them or hand out enough pictures or sign enough autographs, well, they'd get sore at him and make threats.
Well, what kind of threats?
Oh, like they'd ruin him, like they hoped he'd lose a game, lose 10 games in a row, break a leg. I mean, they'd get really angry. And I couldn't stand it. I mean, after all, he was a person. But he and Bruiser, they just laughed it off. Like the last letter he got from this Gwen person.
What did the letter say? Do you remember?
Most of it. See, we were sitting in this bar we used to go to, and Jim got it out, and he started to read it out loud. I know that wasn't very nice of him, but he always did it.
Dearest, most adorable man in the whole world.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. I saw you yesterday going into the barber shop, the big one where all the famous men go to. I worship you from afar, but my secret dream, which I shall now reveal to you, is to be near you, near enough to kneel at your feet and have your blessed hands touch my head.
Come on now.
I received your picture, but it's not the one I want.
You sent her a picture?
Yeah, the PR office sends them out to everybody. It's nothing.
Well, she didn't like the picture.
I received the picture, but it's not the one I want. I want one that will be mine alone. The one you sent me says, "Hi there, Jim," and that's not at all what I want. Because I am not like your other fans. I adore you, every part of you. If you know what I mean, you are my idol, my god, the avatar of my desire.
Avatar? What's an avatar?
Well, who knows? You want to hear the rest of this?
I don't.
Well, it's just more of the same.
Jim, I think you should tell her to stop writing to you. Stop hanging around all the time.
Well, Helen, what's the harm? She's not hurting anybody.
She's hurting me.
Oh, is my little baby getting jealous, maybe?
Oh, it's not that. It's just all so undignified.
Well, what's a little dignity when you're a celebrity?
It's so cheap.
Hey, look.
Huh? Look at what?
It's her. It's that dame, that Gwen Woozitz.
Where?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Well, she just walked in. She's looking around.
All right, let her.
You want her here. You want her to see you and come over here and spoil everything.
Honey, what's the harm?
She spotted you, Jim.
So what?
She's coming over here.
Oh, she's a pathetic dame.
She's got something in her hand.
Okay, let her have her fun.
She has got something in her hand.
Who cares?
Well, hello. Hello there.
Well, hello there to you, too.
I was hoping you'd be alone.
This is my friend, and this is my wife.
Hi there.
You didn't answer my letter.
Well, I've been pretty busy, you know.
Oh, well, you didn't send me a picture.
Sure I did.
Well, not the kind I asked you for.
Now, look, I don't have any of those kind
look,
of pictures.
Well, you could have had one taken.
All right, well, my manager wouldn't like it.
Oh, well, he wouldn't have had to know.
And neither would my wife.
Oh, well, in that case...
Jim, look out.
What? I have to have something.
Hey, Woody, well, wait a minute.
Something of my own.
What is she doing? Get that...
There! What? I got it. something of my own to remember you by. So long, everybody.
What the?
Oh, now that's a new one.
She cut off a piece of my hair. How do you like that?
Yeah, she got nerve, all right.
Yeah, she's got nerve.
She's horrible. She's a horrible thing.
Oh, come on now, honey. She didn't hurt me. A little lock of my hair. Let her have it.
You don't even mind. You don't even get upset when somebody you don't even know treats you like that. As though she had rights to you.
What?
As though you were her servant. No, it's worse than that. Nobody would do anything so degrading to a servant, not even to a slave. She treats you like a pet, a dog, or a cat, and you don't even mind? You're a public pet. You ought to be in a zoo where people gape at you and feed you things and call you cute. You're in a great big zoo, the main attraction in a great big zoo, and you don't even mind. You love it.
Do you still want to be a celebrity? You want to have your name in the newspapers, your picture in magazines, asked for your opinion on life and love? Do you want to be cheered by thousands and chased by hundreds and known intimately by almost no one? Do you really want to be a celebrity? I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
If you went into a Buick dealer's between now and April 30th, do you know what would happen? Well, if you ordered one of four cars with a list of specially selected options, you'd get a vinyl top at no extra charge. Like that Skylark over in the corner? Order one with sport mirrors, a rally tilt steering wheel, body side stripes and vinyl buckets, and Buick pops for the top. To find out about other cars, talk to your Buick dealer. He knows all that stuff.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Son, you're a credit to your father.
Oh, you never said that about him before. What'd he do now?
Not him. The Internal Revenue Service. The new tax reduction law now lets us take a $30 credit off our federal income tax for each person we can claim as a dependent.
Oh, I thought we got a $750 exemption.
We still do. But for every such personal exemption for you, me, and the kids, we can deduct $30 right off the tax we owe, up to the amount of the tax, but no more.
My dad's over 65. He gets a double exemption. Does he get a double credit?
Sorry, only one credit per person.
You know, traditionally, credit has been a man's realm. But today, as more women become part of the workforce, they are realizing the need to establish their own credit identity. And this is Gene King of the Council of Better Business Bureaus with a few tips for women who wish to establish a credit rating. First of all, open a checking and or savings account in your own name, even if you already have a joint account with your husband. Apply for and use at least two credit cards. Open a charge account in your own name at a local store and establish a line of credit at your bank. According to the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, applicants for credit must be judged on their own merits. And if you feel you've been unjustly denied credit, talk to the credit agency or the lending institution, and you just go there and find out why. And if you're not satisfied with their explanation, contact the regional office of the Federal Trade Commission.
Our small town kindergarten teacher has married the small town boy who was the local football hero. But since the halcyon days of high school and high school football, he has become an outstanding football star for a professional team and increasingly popular, famous, and celebrated until he has reached the status of a national celebrity. All this is foreign to our heroine and distasteful.
I screamed at him. You ought to be in a zoo where people can gape at you and feed you peanuts and call you cute. You live in a great big zoo and you don't even mind. You love it.
All this, Mrs. Collins, just because a silly woman snipped off a lock of your husband's hair. I mean, they weren't alone. You were with him, you and his bodyguard, and other people. You were in a public place, a restaurant, a bar, with other people around.
I think that made it worse. Like he was on display. To be touched and handled by anybody at all.
That's better than having them alone together, isn't it?
I don't know. I never thought about them being alone together. Because they never were.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, yes, of course I'm sure. Jim wouldn't have wanted to be alone with her. He didn't even like her. And he didn't have time to be alone with her. He hardly had time to be alone with me. I tried to follow him to all the big games, and I'd wait in the hotel room for him. In the suite. We always had a beautiful suite. We were treated like royalty, practically. And one day, I came back to the hotel to wait for him. And I went into the bedroom to change my clothes. And there she was. This Gwen person. She was going through her clothes closet. What are you doing?
Oh, you're his wife.
What are you doing here? How'd you get in?
Oh, now, please, don't be mad at me, Mrs. Cullen.
Who let you in here?
Well, I told them, see, I was Jim's sister, and I had to meet him here. You don't mind, do you?
Yes, I mind. I mind very much. Why are you going through our clothes?
Well, I had to have something.
What? What, you want money or what?
Money? Oh, no. I don't need any money.
Then what do you want?
Well, something of his.
Of what? Oh, you gave him a lot of expensive presents. Do you want them back?
Oh, no. He tried to give them back to me, see, but I wouldn't take them. I want him to have them, to carry them with him all the time, to touch them every day.
He doesn't touch them every day. He gave them to a friend.
Oh, he didn't. He wouldn't do that.
His friend showed them to me.
Well, I never thought he'd do that.
Well, he did. Do you think sneaking up to him and cutting off a piece of his hair was a nice thing to do?
Well, I had to have something that was his.
And that's why you're here now, to get something else of his?
Yes.
What did you take this time?
Well, nothing much.
You took something out of his clothes, didn't you?
Well, yes, but it isn't anything. He won't even notice.
What is it?
Well, it's not worth anything, only to me.
You've got it in your hand, haven't you?
Well, yes.
Show it to me.
Oh, please let me keep it.
Show it to me.
Oh, please, Mrs. Collins.
I'll call the manager. I'll call the police.
Oh, no, don't do that. I'll show you. Here, see?
You came here to get that?
Yes.
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Well, it's true. Let me keep it, please.
Go away, will you? Just go away. Please, go away.
Well, I can keep it.
Go away. Just go away.
Are you all right, Mrs. Collins?
Yes, I think so.
You feel like telling me what it was the young lady showed you?
Lint.
How's that again?
It was lint. You know, the stuff that collects in your pockets after you've worn your clothes a while? It's dust and bits of thread and little pieces of paper from gum wrappers. Just a mixed-up collection of, I don't know, anything. Lint.
And that was all she'd come there for?
That's what she said. That was all she'd taken.
A crazy lady, a weirdo.
That's what I told Bruiser.
You told him about it?
Came in pretty soon after Gwen left. I was kind of sorry for her, but I was scared of her, too. And I hoped I'd never see her again. I took a hot bath, and I laid down on the bed, and I wondered how I was going to go on with my life. Yes, hello?
Helen, it's Bruiser.
Yes, Bruiser, what do you want?
I'm downstairs.
Is Jim with you?
No, he's still watching the game. Hey, look, can I come up? I've been following him around all day and I'm beat.
Oh, yeah, come on up. I need somebody to talk to.
I'm your man. Be right up.
Don't you see, Bruiser? It's like thousands and thousands of years ago when people were savages. When they drew pictures of animals in the dirt because they thought that'd mean they'd find an animal and kill it. They thought it would work magic.
I never heard anything like that.
Bruiser, they shot arrows at the clouds to make it rain.
That's nutty.
It isn't any nuttier than shooting at presidents to start a revolution.
Yeah, well, that's nutty, too.
There are tribes today where a girl follows a man and takes the dirt from the ground he's walked on, from his footprint, and she takes it home and plants a flower in it, and she's sure that when the flower grows and blossoms, the man will love her. Don't you see? It's all the same thing. It's superstition. It's craziness.
Well, you couldn't grow a flower and a mess of lint out of somebody's pocket.
Of course not. There's nothing you could do with it. So what does anybody want with it? But Gwen wanted it. She lied her way in here to get it. She was crying when she asked me, please, please, could she keep it?
Well, you could have her arrested.
Oh, I don't want to have her arrested. I just wanted her to get out of here. I want them all to get out. I want to have a life that isn't full of all this craziness. I can't bear it anymore. I don't understand it, and I want it to stop. Why can't it?
Because Jim's a celebrity. He just is. He couldn't stop being a celebrity even if he wanted to.
And he doesn't want to.
Well, would you want to? Give up all that money and having everybody look up to you and thinking you're marvelous and ask you to endorse things? Helen, baby, that's success.
But can't Jim just play football? I mean, just do that without all this other business?
Helen, you don't understand what kind of football player Jim is. It's not just that he's fast, and he's very fast, or that he handles his body like nobody else has ever done it before. Jim has, I don't know, intuition. Intuition, I guess you'd call it. Something goes on inside his head, a feeling for what to do. Maybe he's got a feeling for what everybody else on the field is going to do. He carries it all in his head. I don't even think he knows it's in his head, but it's there. It's mystical-like. It's born in him. He's like clairvoyant, you know?
I don't think I can stand it anymore, Bruiser.
Well, maybe you oughtn't to be married to somebody like Jim. Because as long as he's a superstar like he is, people are going to follow him around and scream and yell and carry on. And of course, he won't always be a superstar or any kind of star at all.
When will that be?
10 years, 12, maybe more, probably less. Who knows?
I don't think I'll last that long.
Look, I had a hard day today. Would you mind very much if I took a hot shower and laid down on the bed for half an hour, maybe?
If you want to.
Hey, thanks a lot, Helen.
Give me your coat here. I'll hang it up.
Thanks very much. Oh, wait. Let me take my little old 38 out of the pocket. Don't want you handling it.
Okay. Wait. You've got another gun.
Oh, yeah, this.
Is that a holster? What they call a holster?
Yeah, that's what they call them.
I wish you didn't have to carry guns.
Never had to use one yet outside the Marines. Well, gotta take my shower. Hey, I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You be okay, won't you?
Oh, sure.
Hey, maybe you need a drink.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm just gonna sit here and try to figure out what to do with my life. And that's what I tried to do, Mr. Callahan. Sergeant. I just sat on the bed and tried to think how I'd gotten myself into such a mess. I thought of my life with Jim. No, not with him. Because I was hardly ever with him. I was married to him, but I wasn't with him except for a little while every now and then. The rest of the time, he was with the fans, the worshippers, the acolytes, the autograph hounds, the screamers, the people who thought they owned him, the people he'd given himself to. He wasn't mine, he was theirs. And then I heard the outside door open.
Please, I love you.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it.
Please, let me come in with you.
No.
Let me touch you. Let me spend 5 minutes with you. Two minutes.
Oh, you crazy woman.
Please, you don't know how I feel about you. You're my dream. My life.
Now, will you get out of here? You're some kind of a nut.
Just let me be with you for a minute.
Do you want me to have you thrown out?
I don't care what you do. Only let him.
Helen, that's my wife, you stupid fool.
Helen, I... And that's how I came to shoot him, Sergeant Callahan. I don't remember picking up the gun. I don't even know which gun I picked up. I never had a gun in my hand before. But when I saw Jim and the girl, Gwen, and she was hanging on to him, pleading with him just to let her touch him, I don't know why I wanted to kill him. But I did. I wanted his kind of life to end. Maybe I should have killed her. Maybe that would have made more sense. I don't know.
Neither one made any sense.
No, I guess not. But what I wanted was for all to stop. All the crap.
craziness, all the screaming and yelling and grabbing for things. I wanted everything to just quiet down, be calm and peaceful, so that I could be calm and peaceful, and maybe a little happy.
I understand.
Do you? Really?
I really do.
Thank you.
Mrs. Collins, you didn't kill your husband.
Oh, but I did.
The gun you had in your hand was never fired.
But I heard the shots. Two shots.
They came from a different gun.
Oh, no, not Bruiser. No, he wouldn't.
No, not from either of his guns. From a .32. Belonging to a very crazy lady.
Gwen?
We picked her up this morning.
But she loved him.
What a fan feels for a celebrity, Mrs. Collins, is a very mysterious thing. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you what it isn't. It isn't love.
If you're interested in knowing what happened to Helen, she returned to the little town of North Pines, went back to teaching, and some years later married the manual training teacher, had three children, and a fair measure of happiness. And even the moments that were troubled or unhappy were not frantic or filled with any kind of excitement. Her days of being attached to a celebrity were over, and she never ceased to be thankful. I'll be back shortly.
Right now, your True Value Hardware store can show you two simple ways to save money. By spending money. Hi, Pat Summerall to explain how. First, go to your True Value Hardware store for Owens Corning Dust Stop Furnace Filters. Install one in your furnace, or in summer, in your central cooling system. Change it when the fiberglass filtering material gets dirty, about once a month. Your furnace or cooling system won't have to work so hard, so it'll use less fuel to provide the same amount of heat or cooling, so you'll save money. And second, go to your True Value Hardware store for General Electric Soft White Plus light bulbs in 75 and 100 watt sizes. They cost a little bit more, but they last twice as long as standard bulbs, so you'll save money again. Owens Corning Dust Stop Furnace Filters and GE Soft White Plus light bulbs are two simple ways to save money by spending money. Find them at your participating True Value Hardware store. And remember now, you can charge your purchases on Master Charge at many stores.
If you think we are carping at the idea of worldly success, let me assure you we are not. We are merely objecting to the wild forms of adulation that make so many people seize upon prominent people and elevate them to the status of earthly gods, something they never aspired to be, but something they insidiously began to enjoy. Adoration is as treacherous as power. It corrupts, and absolute adoration corrupts absolutely. Our cast included Lois Nettleton, William Redfield, Marion Haley, and Lloyd Batista. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
There's a sheer drop of at least 100 feet to the river, and the rock is as smooth as glass. Now, try looking out.
Oh, just as you said, the wall of the house is plumb with a rock face.
Yeah, that isn't all. You can't open these windows. See, examine the frames. They're cemented into their casement with dust, and they're bound along the edges with cobwebs.
That's right. These windows have never been opened.
Yeah. Then how did the assassin enter?
Well, of course. The answer is evident. Whoever killed Doomdorf hid in the room till he was asleep. Then he shot him and went out.
Where could he hide? And even supposing he could, when he left, how did the assassin bolt the door behind him when the bolt was on the inside of the door?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Carrier Air Conditioning. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Next up on Coin, one of the great mysteries of all time, Pat Callahan, following CBS News at 12 midnight. This is KOIN Portland, AM 97.
CBS News. A busy day on the stump shapes up in North Carolina, with that state's presidential primary only 3 days away. Good morning, I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Ford will fly to North Carolina, planning a marathon day of appearances in the Charlotte and Asheville areas. In a series of interviews with North Carolina reporters this week, Mr. Ford has said he's very encouraged by reports from the state. Another victory, he has said, would be very helpful, without saying if he believes another win could push challenger Ronald Reagan out of the race. The president does not see the contest as divisive for the Republican Party.
I've always said that Ronald Reagan was a friend of mine. I hope and trust, and I believe he'll be a friend of mine regardless of the outcome. So we have tried to avoid any personality clashes, any divisiveness that would be permanent in the party.
Mr. Ford returns to the White House Saturday night after 1 day of campaigning in North Carolina. Reagan, who's been seeking votes in that state for several days, rejected the suggestion of a number of GOP governors that he quit the race. More from CBS News correspondent Barry Serafin.
In response to suggestions by Republican governors that he should think about dropping out of the GOP race, Reagan continued to insist he would stay in. And before a Charlotte audience, compared the number of delegates decided so far to the first inning of a baseball game.
I've never seen a ball game yet that on a dry field retired or called the game off at the end of the first inning. And I have no intention of calling it off at the end of the first inning.
Reagan maintained his continuing challenge was not divisive to the Republican Party, but actually healthy because of the attention it has brought to the GOP. Barry Serafin, CBS News, Salisbury, North Carolina.
More on politics and other news following this message. The Movies, 1976.
I'm Lee Jordan, your host for a star-studded weekend, The Movies, 1976. I asked Robert Shaw if he jumped at the chance to play the fisherman Quint in the blockbuster Jaws.
I didn't. And my secretary, my wife, and one of the children said, do it, because it'll be a terrific hit. I was railroaded into that picture by my own family.
Robert Shaw, just one Hollywood figure I'll be talking with on The Movies 1976. 30 special broadcasts the weekend of March 27th and 28th. You'll hear Glenda Jackson, Jack Nicholson, Lily Tomlin, George Burns, and Brenda Vaccaro, to name just a few. Top directors talk about the making of French Connection 2, The Day of the Locust, and Jaws. Listen for The Movies 1976, 30 special broadcasts, the weekend of March 27th and 28th on the CBS Radio Network.
Alabama Governor George Wallace, campaigning in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, charged Jimmy Carter is lying about him and should make good his promise to drop out of the Democratic presidential contest if he ever made a false statement. Wallace later said he really didn't want Carter to drop out, only to say that he's not all that he says he is. In Atlanta last night, Carter addressed a group of black civic leaders and said the civil rights movement liberated whites as well as blacks in the South, and observed that's why he's able to run for president. Oklahoma Democrats today take the next-to-last step in that state's phased procedure for picking delegates to the Democratic National Convention. Governor David Boren, who this week gave up his uncommitted posture, now is seeking actively to round up additional support for Carter. Fred Harris, completing a two-day swing through Pennsylvania City, said he might win that state's April 27th Democratic presidential primary. Harris says he hopes his campaign will come alive in Pennsylvania. Israel has agreed to face the Palestine Liberation Organization across the bargaining table for the first time at a UN Security Council meeting. The council has set a Monday meeting on an urgent Islamic request for action to defuse what was termed an explosive situation in the Israeli-occupied West Bank of Jordan. Guerrillas and soldiers opened fire on each other early today in downtown Buenos Aires, capping a week of stepped-up terrorist killings and bombings throughout Argentina. Police sources said the one-hour gun battle took place shortly after guerrillas shot and killed a policeman guarding the Kuwaiti embassy. More CBS News in a moment.
Who's gonna help a child to walk? Face
someone's dreams come true? Who's gonna help someone to talk? Easter seals and you will be working all year round. Someone to count on too, and who will never let them down. Easter seals and you.
Easter seals helps crippled children and adults push back the limitations of their handicaps. Helps them to enjoy the good life. Miracles still happen when you make them.
Easter seals and you.
Give to Easter seals.
Easter seals and you.
Give to Easter seals.
Easter seals.
For crippled children and adults.
Easter seals.
Helping developing nations to increase their own food production is seen by a new international research agency as the only practical way to prevent massive hunger a decade from now. The International Food Policy Research Institute reports that food production in developing nations fell 45 million tons short of demand in 1974 and 75. The Institute warns that unless production rates pick up, the shortage could rise to 100 million or 200 million tons by 1985. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
And I'm Pat Callahan, and I'll have news from Music Radio 97 at 12:30 this morning.